Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to My Transformation, the unfolding of personal life experiences. I am your host, Sandra Lucas. I will share with you intimate thoughts, relationships, and experiences from prayer and meditation to inspire and empower those on a spiritual journey to self-realization, God's children who are ready to wake up and claim their power. All shows are pre-recorded. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. This is Sandra Lucas hosting My Transformation.
Today's meditation is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. And this is in reference to wives of deacons. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And the translated Bible says, their wives must be thoughtful, not heavy drinkers, not gossipers, but faithful in everything they do. And this is what I put in my notes. As I contemplated this verse, the past flashed before me. I remember sitting in a meeting at the church, asked questions by what seemed to be a panel of men, asking me questions, and my husband at the time was also there. They were asking me if I thought I was fit to be a deacon's wife, and one of the deacons said that his wife told him that when I was at their house, my son intentionally broke her daughter's crown, and I didn't correct him. Before I could speak on my behalf, my husband chimed in and said, we don't discipline our children in front of people, or something related to that. He knew I was offended and was about to speak my mind. I guess he called himself saving me. He didn't save me. He stopped the truth from being spoken. That deacon's wife lied. After the deacon's questioning, etc., they asked me if I felt I would be a good deacon's wife. I told them, no, I would not. They looked at me, and they looked at my husband, they looked back at me, and they seemed so surprised that I would say no. And I told them that I would not be an obedient wife if my husband wanted me to do something that I felt was not the will of God for me to do. And I told them that I don't always do what my husband tells me to do because he don't always know what he's talking about. And if I know better, I'm not going to do it. And they just looked back and forth to us like they didn't know what to think or what to say. And then they asked me if I felt that my husband would be a good deacon. And I said, no, I don't. And they had that same look, and they looked at him, and it's like they could not believe what they were hearing come out of my mouth. I guess they just figured I was going to say, oh, yes, yes, and tell them all the great things about myself and how it would be a great deacon's wife and all the great things about my husband, how he would be a perfect deacon. I didn't do that. I was bluntly honest, and that's how I was in those days. I was bluntly honest. And they just could not believe that I said no about him being a good deacon because they were nominating people for deacons. And I didn't know what was going on when I went to that meeting. It wasn't until I got there that I realized that they were examining me to see if I was going to be a fit deacon's wife. And so I didn't know all this stuff in advance. But I was being myself. I was being honest. I didn't lie about me, and I didn't lie about him so that we could get that position. I didn't do that. I said no to him being a deacon because I told them that he was not fulfilling his responsibilities at home. I said, he's not being a husband God tells him to be, and he's not being a father God tells him to be. He is not doing his responsibilities at home. So how can he be a deacon in a church, a leader in a church, when he's not even leading at home the way he's supposed to be leading? And they just had nothing to say. They were just in total shock. I was probably the first person that ever answered questions so honestly like that. Just outright throwing it out there. Don't ask me a question about character or anything else and expect me to be lying. I'm going to tell you what I see and what I feel about me too. Not just about who you ask me about me too. And that's how I was. I was just so honest. And people have told me that, you know, Sandra, you're too honest for your own good. And that was because I missed out on good opportunities, high-paying jobs, because I was honest. I didn't go in there lying and being deceptive so I could get the position. I was honest. And it cost me positions because I was too honest for my own good. Well, that's how I was then. That's how I was. I was real. I wasn't fake in any way. I was real, 100% real. So I got way off my notes because I was trying to write down the story. And, you know, it's better to just talk it than to be reading your notes, because then more will come out and my notes sound kind of weird anyway. So I'm just speaking from what's coming through, and I'm just letting my notes be sort of like a guide. But I've already said more than what I have here on my notes. But they just kept looking at us back and forth and not believing the things I was saying. And so they said, oh, all right, because we believe your husband would make a good deacon. And I said, yeah. I said, well, I believe he needs to take care of home first. I believe he needs to show authority, godly authority, at home first before he take on a church position. If you don't have your home right, how are you going to be a right leader in the church? And they really couldn't answer that. They said, well, we could see what you're saying. And so they were disappointed that I said the things that I said, because they really wanted him to be a deacon. And so they were disappointed in what I said about him being one, being chosen for one. And so I was just giving my views. They just had me there to give my views on myself and on him. And so the result was he was turned down for being a deacon. And he wanted to be a deacon, but he also knew that I was speaking the truth. He also knew that I was right about the things I was saying. And I was upset with him for cutting me off when I was getting ready to tell them about what really happened at that deacon's wife's house. But he wouldn't let me. And I'm like, why did you cut me off? And I said, that lady lied. I mean, my son broke the crown, yes. On purpose, no. My son was heavy-handed. He broke his own crowns at home. I watched him coloring, and then the crown would break while he's coloring. I said, don't worry, he'll get another crown, you know, because he colored hard. You know, he had a lot of pressure, I guess, on the crown when he colored. He broke his own crowns, but he didn't break them intentionally. And I told her that. You know, I said, he breaks his crowns, too, because he colors hard. And he not have to learn how to hold a crown lightly, but he, you know, holds it firmly, and then it breaks while he's coloring. And so he apologized and everything for breaking her crown. I even said I'd get her another crown. But that wife told her husband that I intentionally let my son break up their daughter's crowns, and I did nothing about it. I didn't see anything wrong in it, and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? When we went to church after that, she didn't even want to look at me. She had this look on her face like she was, like, embarrassed to even see me, or for me to even see her. She had this look on her face. And we used to talk and stuff, and I wouldn't say a word to her. I just looked at her, and I had those cutting, gleaming eyes when I looked at her. And she just looked, like, down, and she looked terrible. She looked, 'cause she knew she lied. She knew she lied. And I did not forgive her for that. I didn't forgive her for that. I did not speak to that woman after that. And we used to, I used to, and I was at her house helping her because she was pregnant. And I was over there helping her clean out her cabinets and, you know, over there helping her. My son and I went over there, spent hours over there helping her clean her house. And then she going to lie about my son like that. And that really upset me. I mean, it upset me. And even her husband looked at me and then looked at his wife, and he had that, like, sick look on his face. So they both had this sick look on their face. And I had them, oh, my eyes, I was cutting them. But when you see me, when I'm a certain way and you see my eyes, it's like they cut right through you. And that's what how I was looking at her. And she couldn't say anything. He didn't say anything. All they could do was hold their head down. That's all they could do. And he put his arm around her trying to comfort her, you know. So I don't know if she told him that she lied or exaggerated. I don't know what she told him. I have no idea. All I know is she lied. And I couldn't understand why she did that. I didn't appreciate her doing that, lying on my son like that and lying on me like that. I couldn't. I just didn't appreciate it. And that was the last time, you know, at her house, that was the very last time I ever talked to her. I didn't talk to her after that. I didn't speak to her, nothing after that. But enough for that. I guess that's something I had to clear. Thank you, Lord. That was probably something else that was suppressed in my subconscious. I told you, on this journey, I am clearing the crap that's in my subconscious. And thank you, Father, because this must have been something that was buried in there because I did not think about that situation in all these years. Never even thought about it. Never thought about it. And here it comes up, just doing this meditation, looking at this verse, thinking about this verse. How is this verse relating to me? I'm not a wife, and I'm not a deacon's wife. But even though God always has a message in there, he's going to always, because I'm not going to be questioning God anymore when he gives me a verse, and I'd be like, God, I ain't married. God, I ain't got no deacon's. God, I'm not doing that anymore, because I did that the last time, and God showed me something powerful. Remember that one? I don't remember the name of that one. But he showed me something powerful when I was like complaining. Lord, what this got to do with me? This is my transformation. But now I understand. I understand that because he's digging up stuff that's in my subconscious and bringing it to the light so that I can see it and clear it. So that's what he has me clearing. My God, man, that stuff. That's why I want to clear all this mess in my subconscious so I can be who I am 100%. And so he used this verse to bring that part up. So let me finish reading my notes because I'm just getting all over the place now. Okay, I put here, I might have already said this, so let me just read my notes from here. To me, this message is saying that wives should not lie to help their husbands become deacons, and deacons should not accept the position of deacon when he knows his wife is a drinker or a gossiper or unfaithful. The church I'm referring to had gossiping deacons' wives. So the church that was questioning me, they had their wives, the deacons' wives were gossipers. And they thought that they were special because their husbands were deacons. But they gossiped, they rolled their eyes, and they lied because the wife that lied on me was a deacon's wife. And those groups of women, when they're in groups talking and stuff, and I would just go and, you know, walk around and go join a group, you know, to socialize, they were all dispersed when I got there. And in that group were deacon's wives. Did the deacon's wives stay there while the others left? No. They might have been the first ones that left, and everybody else left too. People just didn't want to talk to me because I was too real. I was too real. And I even talked to a preacher's wife, and she said, she said, why are you over here by yourself? And she came to talk to me. I said, because nobody wants to talk to me. She said, oh, that's not true. That can't be right. She said, just go, and when you see people talking, just go join, just go stand there and listen to what they're saying and then join in the conversation. I said, I've tried that. She said, well, go ahead and do it again. I said, okay. I went and did what she said, and one by one, then two by two, they just started leaving, and I was standing there all by myself. And I said, see what I'm talking about? And she was shocked. I went right back to her. I said, see what I'm talking about? I went over there. I stood there. I listened to the conversation, listened to what was going on. And then when I spoke, adding to the conversation, one by one, they left. I mean, she stood there and she saw them do it. And she had a look on her face of unbelief. Unbelief. She couldn't believe what she saw. But that's how they did me. And she got to see it for herself. So, and I'm sure some of those wives were deacons' wives that was in the groups that I would go to. And, you know, just trying to be sociable and trying to socialize, trying to join in conversations, you know, and they just didn't want nothing to do with me. But anyway, that's all done and over with. Okay, let me see what I got on here. Those who hold a position in church have a responsibility to be a pure example for God's children. They are leaders and must first be proved that they are blameless before they hold office. And that's the preachers, the deacons, and deacons' wives. How can you lead people to live godly when you don't? Messy leaders have messy churches. And that was the end of my notes. And how many churches out there have deacons' wives that are messy? How many deacons are messy? How many preachers are messy? You're going to have messy leaders. You're going to have messy followers. And God said, the blind shall lead the blind. There are people that are so churchy and so religious and so fake, but the blind will lead the blind. You got a messy preacher, you're going to have a messy church. You got messy deacons, you're going to have a messy church. You got messy deacons' wives, you're going to have a messy church. And there shouldn't even be a deacon who has a messy wife. He does not qualify to be a deacon if his wife is messy. A messy wife should not have a deacon husband, because she disqualifies him from being a deacon. He could be a perfect, pure person, godly, holy, righteous. He could be perfect in the eyes of God for a deacon. But if his wife is not, then he should not hold office as a deacon because she's messy. And that's going to contaminate his position. So not only is the deacon to be blameless, his wife also is to be blameless. Don't lie about your wife so you can get a deacon position. And wife, if you're what you're supposed to be as a deacon wife, but your husband is not, don't lie so that he could be a deacon so you can say you have a deacon husband. Don't lie for each other. Be truth. Be truth. Because if you lie and you're messy, then you're going to mess up the congregation, because your messiness will not be covered up. It will not be. Messy knows messy. Messy is acquainted with messy. You can't be a messy person, a messy leader in a church, and the messy people in the church don't know you're messy. It's impossible. You can't fake messy. Messy is like a poison, okay? It's a poison that's just all out there in the air. It's airborne. It's airborne poison. So even if people are not consciously aware of your messiness, subconsciously they are. Because your messiness will connect with their messiness, and that'll bring out even more messiness in your church. So don't hold a position of leadership in a church when you know you're messy. Don't lie your way in a position. Don't do that. And those people that are questioning you to be a deacon or question a deacon, I don't know how they do it these days. This is how it was done years ago when I was going to church. They had me in a room, all the deacons sitting at a table. I'm in there. They ask me all these questions, saying all this stuff, you know, and then they're going to ask me, am I worthy to be a deacon's wife, you know, and I don't know how y'all doing it now, but before you even be on that panel, you make sure you're not messy. Make sure that you are worthy to be a deacon. and make sure that your wife is worthy to be a deacon's wife. Because if she's not, then you're not even to hold a position. So those same people up there questioning me had messy wives. And as far as I know, some of them were probably messy. But they were in there questioning me about my worthiness. So if you are a deacon, if you are a deacon's wife and you know you're messy, then my advice to you is to resign. Resign, because you don't fit the position. You're not even supposed to be a deacon. God says that you are to be blameless before you hold office. And if you're not blameless and you got office, then I suggest you resign. I suggest you resign. My prayer is that you will be bold enough to resign your position when you know that you're messy or your wife is messy. That's my prayer, that you will be bold enough to step out there and turn in your resignation and get your life cleaned up and be what you're supposed to be before you hold such an important position in God's church. That's my prayer. That's my prayer. I'm getting fired up, man. I'm getting fired up because now I'm thinking about the nerve of them people questioning me like that. I was probably the only one in that group telling the truth. I was probably the only one in that group telling the truth. Now, the deacon that told me about what his wife said, he should have asked me what happened in that place before he even told me what his wife said. Instead of telling me, my wife said that you blah, 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 blah. That was the wrong thing to do to me. Because the way I was back then, you don't come at me like that. You don't come at me with somebody's hearsay. I didn't take hearsay like that well at all. And my husband knew that, and that's why he jumped in as quick as he could. As quick as he could to stop me from saying what I was going to say. Because I would have put that man in his place. I don't care who you are. I didn't care about your title, your position. I didn't care about any of that. There's certain things you don't say to me, and there's certain ways you don't come at me, because I will put you in your place. And he knew I was like that. And that's why he jumped in there and stopped me before I could even say anything. I mean, I had my mouth open to speak, and he jumped right up in there real quick before I could say anything. And I just looked at him, you know. And I just didn't say anything until afterwards. Like, why did you do that? Because he knew that I would not intentionally have my son break up somebody's crowns. He knew that. But he just jumped in there real quick because he didn't want me to say anything, because he knew how I was. He knew how I was. I would have had that man, oh, my God. I mean, just thinking about it. But, yeah, yep. So, thank you, Lord. My God. Woo, sometimes I'd be like, Lord, why you bring this up? Because now I'm getting all woo, fired up, because this stuff had not been on my mind all these years, and now it's brought up. So I know God is just helping me release it. And thank you for allowing me to release this. Ooh, Lord. So when God bring up stuff, it's for a very good reason. Because my holdingness in my subconscious, and when stuff is buried in your subconscious like that, you don't know it's there anymore. It's like you put it away so you can forget about it, so it won't bring up any pain and hurt. And that's why stuff is buried in our subconscious, to keep us from agonizing over it, because keep us from going through depression and pain and frustration. And see how I'm acting now? See how I'm just so fired up and how I'm responding to the way they did me? God wants me to bring all this stuff up and out of me, because that's how you purge. That's how you cleanse. And I thank God for bringing me this verse, because this verse is what's bringing that out of me. That's why I don't question God anymore about, God, why are you giving me this verse? This don't have nothing to do with me. Because it will have something to do with me in some area of my life. And even though I'm not married, even though that I'm not a deacon's wife, and this verse is referring to deacon's wives, I was in a position to be a deacon's wife. I had experienced this stuff about what they do for you to be a deacon's wife. And because I experienced it, I was holding that stuff inside of me, the reaction, the accusation. I was holding that, and God is using this verse so I can release it. And it is now released. And thank you, Lord, another clearing, another thing in my subconscious that is no longer buried there, but is now out in the open and released into the heavens. Thank you, Father. God is good. I'm telling you, God is so good. You want the Lord to go into your subconscious and release all the garbage out of there and help you clear? He will do that. He will do it. God has helped me clear so much garbage. And I know there's still more there. And even stuff I don't even know is there. God knows it's there. And he will bring it up so that you can recognize it, remember it, and clear it. Whew. God is good. God is good. This is one of the reasons I stopped going to church. Fake people. Fake people. People holding office that are impure. My God. Preachers. Preachers turning their back on God and doing what they want to do for themselves. My God, I've witnessed that. I've witnessed preachers that were first led by God, then they turned and start being led by man. I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. It's like God had me alert to certain things that a lot of people weren't alert to. It's like he has me alert to certain things, and I catch it quick. It don't take me a long time to catch something that's not right, that's not a good energy. And that may be why he got me so sensitive to energy, because I can feel stuff. And if I'm uncomfortable, I don't want to be around it. And I was never comfortable in church. Never comfortable in church. And whenever I felt the slightest bit comfortable, something would come around and make me very uncomfortable. Like being all happy and feeling good and seeing people in the group talking. I said, let me go over here and see what they're talking about and see if I can chime in and go over there, and then they all leave you. That's not comfortable. That's uncomfortable. Or going to a function in a church, and then you walk in, and then people look at you. You feel people's eyes on you, rolling their eyes and looking you up and down and whispering. And that's not comfortable. That's not comfortable at all. So church was never a comfortable place for me. And that's why I don't go. That's why I don't go. Let me see. Well, I read all my notes. I'm just talking now. I'm just talking now. But God got me this verse, had me read this verse to get that stuff out of my system. So if you go to church, what kind of mess is going on in your church? Is your church messy? Is your church messy? Is your preacher messy? Is your deacons messy? Are the deacons' wives messy? What about any other office in the church? Are there anybody holding office in your church that's messy? Well, I think it would be a good idea for them to resign their position and get their lives cleaned up. Because God says, be blameless. First, be blameless before you hold office in the church. Being an officer in a church, being somebody, a leader or somebody important in the church, that's a very, very, very powerful position. And if you're not holding that position with God number one and being led and blessed by God, but you're up there holding it, being led by man and blessed by man, you're not fit for that position. You're not fit for it. So look at yourself. Look at yourself. Even if you're a preacher or a deacon listening to this message, are you messy? Are you messy? Are your deacons messy? Are the deacons' wives messy? You want to clean up God's house? Well, start with the preachers and start with the deacons and start with the deacons' wives and anybody else of leadership. If you're going to question people to be a deacon, take them through that questionnaire like I was taken through, and make sure that you're even worthy yourself to be a deacon. If you're not even worthy to be one, you don't even have the right to be questioning somebody else to see if they're going to be nominated as one or elected as one. My husband was nominated to be a deacon along with, I don't know how many other people were nominated, and I don't even know who nominated him. Maybe some of the deacons nominated him. I don't know. But I would not nominate him because I know how he is at home. I know what his weaknesses were. I know what he was not doing, what he was pretending to be, and what he really was. I knew all that. And I knew me. I knew neither one of us qualified. I didn't lie about it so he could have a position. I didn't lie about it so he could be looking important. No. That's God's house. It's not about holding a position. It's about doing what's right with God. Doing what's right for the church. Being led by God. That's what it's about. It's not about you having a position or being able to say your husband is this or being able to say I'm the deacon of the church or I'm deacon so-and-so. That's not what it's about. It's about your relationship and your obedience to the Father and what you can do in that position for the Father to help his people, to be an example for his people. That's what it's all about. It's about the Father. It's about representing him. My God. That's why we have so many messy churches. The leadership is impure. The leadership. It starts with the leadership. The blind leading the blind. So that's God's message for me. God's message for me was to help me clear stuff that was in my subconscious about what I went through. Because as you know, this verse, this chapter, it's about leadership of the church. It's about deacons, picking deacons and, you know, I guess the rules to pick a deacon. Because to pick a deacon, the deacon has to have other offices or other positions in the church first to see if he's blameless. You give him smaller positions and see how he do with those before you even nominate him to be a deacon. Now, yeah, my ex, he was, I guess, a Bible school teacher or something. He did have other positions in the church, and maybe that's why they nominated him to be a deacon. So he did hold other positions in the church. But he was whatever you wanted him to be, whatever he was. And that's not what God says. You don't conform to whatever you think you're supposed to be in whatever situation you're in. You're to be you. So what I'm trying to say is you don't play church. You don't play church. When I was in church, I didn't play church. If I was upset, you knew I was upset. If my kids made me mad and I would take them in the bathroom and beat the mess out of them, that's what I did. If my child was falling out in church, I would yank them up, spank them, whatever I had to do. Whatever I did at home is what I did in church. If I spanked my kids at home, I spanked them in church for the same thing if they did the same thing in church. So people, when I took my daughter in the bathroom and spanked her for acting out or whatever she was doing, they said, my husband told me that they could hear me spanking her in the church. I said, so? Good. You know, if people upset with me because I'm spanking my child, I'm going to spank my child at home. I'm going to spank my child in church. I'm going to spank my child in a store. I'm going to spank my child in the street. It didn't matter. If you act up, you get spanked. That's what's wrong with kids now. Parents going to jail for spanking their children. That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard. Spare not the rod. That's the most ridiculous thing, to go to jail because you spanked your child. That's why the kids are uncontrollable now. That's why they're killing each other and killing their parents and doing things that children don't normally do. Because the law is allowing them to do it. The law's messed up. I'm all on another subject. But I guess even though I'm on another subject talking about the law, it's still rules. It's still, how can you have a pure law system when the law is messy? How can any leadership role be pure and godly when it's messy? So even though I went off into something else, it's all under messiness. How can something be pure? How can something work for the benefit of all if it's messy? And that's the message that I'm getting from this. Messiness. I even called it, messy leaders have messy churches. Messy leaders in anything. Messy leaders in the home, messy leaders in the schools, messy leaders in government, messy leaders in church, messy leaders anywhere make a messy whatever that is. If you're a messy leader in the schools, you're going to have messy teachers and messy students. You're a messy leader in church, messy preachers, messy deacons, messy congregation. You're going to have a messy leaders in government, messy laws and messy regulations and messy distance. That's why there's so much money laundering and all kinds of stuff going on in these government offices. All kinds of junk. Because there are messy leaders within the government, within the White House, within everything. Anything and everything that has messy leadership is going to have messy results. Wow. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. Woo, Father, thank you. Messy leaders in the world. A messy world. Ooh, God, isn't that an eye-opening right there? Wherever there's a messy leadership, things are going to be messy. Things are going to be messy. That's why there's so much mess. It all starts with leadership. If the leadership is not being led by God, it's messy. My Lord, my Lord. So how do we straighten up all the mess? Whew. How do we straighten up all the mess? The leaders must be led by the Father. By the Father. Leaders must be led by purity. Ooh, Lord. My God. My God. My God. God is good. God is good. All that from this one verse. All that. What's that verse again? Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Imagine if all leaders of everything that has leaders fit this verse. Imagine if they all fit this verse. Everything wouldn't be so messy. They talk about healthcare, what's that? I can't even think right now. I'm just, you know how I get when I just start floating. I'm floating right now because so much stuff is opening up right now. So much stuff is opening up. They talk about the healthcare bill and Social Security and all this stuff they be talking about. Cutting here, cutting there. Why all the cuts? Messy leadership. Messy leadership. Impure leadership. Everything that's failing, everything that's falling apart, everything that's costly, messy leadership, impure leadership. Just think about it. They take from schools. They take from children's activities. They take from all these things. Why? Because somebody's stealing the money. Somebody's misdirecting the funds. Messy leadership, impure. That's why things are a mess. It starts with the leadership. The leadership's wrong. The leadership is not being led by the Father. It's not being led by purity. It's not being led by wisdom. It's not being blessed by God. And that's why all the problems. That's why all the mess. My God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is, I tell you, God is deep. God, I mean, normally I would look at this verse and be like, okay, this is about church, you know. But no, it goes beyond church. This is a powerful verse. As short as it is very powerful because it relates to all leadership, not just in the church, not just with deacons' wives. This verse can relate to all leadership, all leadership, because leadership is how things turn out. That's where the results come from, the type of leadership. And look at the world. You see the results we have, right? You see the results with housing. You see the results with Social Security. You see the results with people's investments. You see all the results of life, period. It all started with leadership. All started with leadership. My God. The leaders clean themselves up. They clean their lives up, and they give their lives over to the Lord. And they let the Lord lead and guide them with wisdom. Wisdom, godly wisdom. This world would change so quickly if it was the right God-fearing, God-leaded leadership. My Lord, and the churches, it's not too late to clean up the churches, clean up the leadership, get right with the Lord, stop going by man's rules and regulations and see what God's rules and regulations are, go by His, clean up your churches, clean up the government, clean up all the systems that are out there that are causing havoc and oh my Lord, my God. It's springtime, I think. Is it springtime? Let's do some spring cleaning in the leadership field. Let's make springtime every day of the year and clean up the leadership roles. Man. Oh, Lord, let me just get off of this because God is awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Lord, for thy word. Thank you for thy wisdom, thy understanding, thy clarity, Father. Thank you, Lord, for showing us how one simple verse could open up so much insight, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your leadership. Thank you, Father, for purity and wisdom, clarity, understanding. Thank you, Father, for our leaders, and I pray, God, that you will help them to clean up their own lives so that their leadership can be beneficial for all. I pray, God, that those who are leaders that are hearing this message, Lord, will look at their own lives and see whether they are blameless or not. And if they're not blameless, if they clean up their lives, Lord, that it will be blameless. And if necessary, step down from their position, Father, until they become blameless so that they can be perfect leaders for you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for showing us what true leadership is, Lord. Thank you, Father, for showing us how messy things can be when the leadership is impure. Thank you, Father. There is so much going on in this world, Lord. So much going on, and it's not getting any better. And we know, Father, it's because the leadership has not improved. The leadership is not of wisdom, Lord. the leadership is not led and guided by you, Father. And we just pray, God, that those who do hold those positions, Lord, will wake up. Wake up to the truth, Father. Wake up to the truth. Wisdom. That they will seek wisdom, Lord. That they will fall down upon their knees and cry out to you, Father, to lead and guide them, Lord. To fill their lives with your presence, Lord. With your guidance, with your wisdom, Father. We have so many leaders out there, Lord, who are leading as blind people. And how can the blind lead us, Father? The blind can only lead the blind, Father. Have mercy, Lord, on the leaders, Father, of this world. Have mercy on their souls, Lord. Have mercy on them, Father. I just pray, God, that they were seeking their own lives, Lord, that they would go within themselves, Father, and cry out to you, Lord, wanting an answer from you, Father. And stop seeking answers in the world, making problems bigger problems, Lord. The answers are not in the world, Father. They are not in the world, Lord. Only confusion, Lord, is in the world. The truth is within you, Father. The truth comes from you, Lord. And I just pray, God, for the leaders of this world, Lord, that they will fall upon their knees. Will fall upon their knees, Lord. Leave their pride. Fall upon their knees and cry out to you for help, Lord. Only you, God, have the answer. You have all the answers that will help us, Father, to move forward. You have all the answers, Lord. I just pray, God, that the leaders of this world will set aside their pride and their egotism, Lord. That they will set aside what they think they know, Father, and cry out to you to give them the answers to what they don't know, Lord. They don't know what they don't know. And I just pray, Father, that you would lift them up, Lord. That you would intervene. Intervene for thy people, Lord. Intervene for thy people. Whatever it takes, God, if you have to wipe out the leaders, Lord, and bring in those who will be led by you, Father, so be it. So be it. Have mercy on your people, Lord. Have mercy on your people. Have mercy on your people. Have mercy on your people, Lord. Your leadership will clear everything, Lord. Your leadership, Father. Because you will lead us in wisdom and knowledge. You will lead us in the right direction. May all the leaders of the world seek your guidance, Father. Seek your guidance. For you know all things. May they step out of their own pride, their own ego. May they step out of thinking they know what's right and realize that they don't know what they don't know. I just pray, God, that they will go within themselves and seek the truth, Lord. We have so many leaders who are blind, Father. So many leaders who are blind. And that is why wrong choices and decisions are being made. And more problems are being caused. Simply because
there are blind leaders. Blind leaders leading the blind. May they wake up and wake up soon, Lord, to the truth, Father, that you have all the answers and that your guidance will clear out all the problems and lead us in the right direction, which would be beneficial for all. For all. Not for a select few, but beneficial for all. You have all the answers, Lord. If only man would see that you are the leader and submit to your leadership, Lord. That's all they have to do, is submit to your leadership, Father, because you will guide them in the right direction. You will give them the wisdom and the knowledge necessary to go in the right direction, to make the right choices. Father, it is your guidance and your wisdom that saves us, Lord. And I just thank you for your mercy and your grace and your patience, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you will speak to the hearts of the leaders of the world, the leaders of the churches, the leaders of the schools, leaders everywhere, Father. I pray, God, that you will speak to their hearts. Speak to their hearts constantly, Lord, continuously. Lead them, God. Lead them, Father. I know, Lord, that it's our choice to receive you or reject you. And I know, Father, that most leaders do not receive you, Lord. But I pray, God, that those who are blind, Father, that you will intervene, Lord. You will intervene and give them something to see. Shine a light upon them so that they can see, Lord, see the truth, see the direction to go in, Father. Some leaders are blind and can't help but being blind, Lord. Some leaders are intentionally blind. But those who can't help but to be blind, Lord, I pray, Father, you would intervene, Lord. And for those who are intentionally being blind, God, I pray, Father, that thy will, that you would remove them from office, Lord. So that those who would be obedient to thy leadership will be replaced, Lord, will be put in office in their place, Father. Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Because, God, I know there's a reason for everything you do, everything you allow, Lord. There's a reason for it. But I am begging, Father, I am begging for your mercy upon the leaders, Lord, upon your people, Father. I am asking for your intervention, Lord. I am asking you, Father, to step in, Lord, and remove those intentionally blind leaders, Father, who are intentionally harming your people, who are intentionally causing havoc and problems, Lord, in the systems, Father. I pray, God, that you would intervene, Lord. And I ask, God, that thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Done in all areas of our lives, Father. And I just thank you so much, Lord, for helping me to clear the things that are within me, Lord, that are impure. Thank you, Father, for being the leadership in my life, Lord, for showing me the way and filling me with your wisdom and understanding and giving me clarity, Father. Clarity of thy will in my life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience and your love and your understanding. Thank you for your children, Lord. May God have mercy on us all. May God have mercy on us all.
Man. Ooh, Lord. Deep stuff, Lord. Deep stuff. Deep stuff.